make sure we get the word, because that's the primary thing. We experience transformation in the presence of God, and we open our hearts and uproot things, but we have to replace it with something. Jesus told a parable about when an unclean spirit comes out of a person, that it goes and it searches and, you know, looks for somewhere to go. It said, but when it tries to come back, notice this says it tries to come back. So don't feel like you haven't been delivered because an incident is trying to come up. Because a lot of times that spirit is familiar and would try to come back to you. But it says if it finds itself empty, then it comes back with seven spirits more wicked than itself. But how about if it tries to come back and finds that house full? So you have to replace it with something. So I believe that, you know, as we navigate in the presence of God and we experience him and he uproots and transforms things, that we have to fill ourselves with the word. So today, I'm talking about the kingdom key of faith. Say faith. And we're going to start reading at Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And a lot of what I'm going to say today is most likely going to be introductory, because I'm not going to try to rush through this message. I want to make sure that we get it and we, you know, the best way I could think of it is, you know, like my grandmama would say, we get it and we get it good. So we're going to just start it and stop wherever we stop. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, it says this: I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So when he's talking about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about access as well as authority. So he said, I'm going to give you access and authority to the end and to the kingdom of heaven. And then he gives an example. Whatever you forbid or bind is what has already been forbidden in heaven. Whatever you allow is what has already been allowed in heaven. And so, you know, one translation translates it that way because we have to align with the kingdom and use that kingdom authority. And anything that's not operating in heaven, we have the right to say it cannot operate in my life. It can't come here. There is no coronavirus in heaven, so coronavirus cannot operate here. There isn't poverty in the king in heaven, so poverty can't be a part of my life here. And so God has given us these keys to the kingdom, and one of those keys is faith. Say faith. You know, so faith, you know, as we teach it, sometimes people think of it as an abstract concept. But I'm going to tell you that faith is not an abstract concept or an idea. Faith is a spiritual force. Say force. It's a legal document in the courts of heaven. It is also the currency of the kingdom of God. It is the gateway to the realm and the first level of the supernatural. Say hallelujah to that. And so when God gives us these keys and the key of faith, we are talking about something of spiritual nature and spiritual force that is the gateway and the first level of supernatural things happening in our life. And it's also a legal document that when we exercise it, the courts of heaven make a ruling and they enforce it. A lot of times we try to enforce the kingdom of God. We try to enforce the decrees of God, but it's the kingdom of heaven that enforces his own thing. Our responsibility is to speak it and believe it and do our corresponding action. The host of heaven enforces. Hallelujah. So as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are to live by faith. We are to live through faith. We are to walk by faith, and we are to see the results of our faith. It is not God's intention for us to talk faith and never see a result. It is not God's intention for us to read about faith and never act on it. It is never God's intention for us to read it and then believe it, but never say nothing and never do nothing and not align those words with our actions. faith is all about alignment with the kingdom of heaven and making that be our reality in the earth. It's about my words, my actions, my thoughts, everything becoming into alignment with what's already available in heaven and using my title deed, my legal right, my authority to make it my reality here on earth. Jesus prayed on earth as it already is in heaven. Hallelujah. And so I believe we are in this season where we must be sure of what we believe. Apostle John said it prophetically on New Year's Eve coming into this year. He was done with his message and he said, you have to be sure of what you believe. So in this season, we have to be sure of what we believe and why we believe it. Because right now, I saw a post on Facebook where it said, witches and warlocks come out the closet, you not crazy. There are also people with PhDs and high theological degrees that are now saying the seven mountains are heresy. There are people who have large platforms that don't believe in the word of faith. They don't believe in prosperity. They think if you're just humble and try to be a good person and go to heaven, that's your destiny. But that's not what the scripture says. And so you have to know what you believe and why, no matter who says what. I don't care what platform they have, how long they've been preaching, how many degrees they have, how they were used in the past. That means nothing if what they are saying is out of alignment with the word of God. Hallelujah. And so you got to be sure of what you believe, and you have to know why you believe it, and you have to press into the reality of the word, the prophetic word, the revealed word, and the written word. Hallelujah. Because people are in need of an experience and an authentic encounter with the true and the living God. And God has chosen you and I, before we were born, to be the facilitators of that experience. You are alive, and I know it sounds cliche because everybody quotes what Mordecai said to Esther, but it's real talk right now. You are alive for such a time as this. Because there are people who went home to be with the Lord way before now because they finished their race. They ran their course. You are alive because you are running your race. You're fighting the good fight of faith. You have something that God desires to facilitate and release through you. And so I'm gonna give you a glimpse of that because everybody has been talking and sensing this outpouring. I even talked about it the last Sunday morning I spoke, when I talked about the, you know, racism and how one of the things that God is gonna do is deal with it through an outpouring. But let me give you a glimpse of what this outpouring is going to look like. It's called, in heaven, it's called the glory days. It's the days that will be talked about from now until eternity, about how God moved and demonstrated his power, never like before in human history, and never like it again. This is not time for the rapture. I know folks are talking about get ready because it's time for the rapture. Are you going to be ready because Jesus is coming? Yeah, you need to be ready. Jesus is coming, but not today. Now, I know the scripture says no man know the day or the hour, and that's something that the Father has reserved in his own power. But I can tell you by the Spirit of God, it ain't today and it ain't tomorrow, because he's coming back for a body, a ecclesia, a church that's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And so right now, he's removing spots. He's removing wrinkles. He's dealing with the souls of people in the body. He's dealing with these false doctrines that creeped into the church, the racism, the Hebrew Israelite, the Masonic stuff, the little hooky spooky reeky stuff that people bringing in, all that other stuff. I heard of somebody who called themselves a preacher says it's hypnosis biblical. No, it's not. So cut it out. And so I'm telling you, all of these things that tried to creep into the church and hinder an authentic move of God, God is uprooting, and then he's going to have a people that people would know belongs to him, not because we talk about it, but it says by the love we display for one another and the love we display for other people and demonstrate the power of God. That's how people knew that the apostles belonged to Jesus. They told Peter, your speech betraying you. You lying. You been with that dude because the way you talk betray you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, this is a glimpse of what's happening and about to continue to happen right now. It says this. It says, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. Now let's check this out. This passage says signs at the hands of the apostles. Now, other incidents show that signs and wonders were done by not just the apostles, but by everybody. Because Philip was an apostle, and he was translated from one place and brought to another, and then talked to the eunuch, got that eunuch saved, and then boom, he was translated somewhere else. So in this type incidence, it's saying the apostles, because it's highlighting the apostles were doing it, but they weren't the only ones. And so don't think that this is a superstar mentality that only apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, ministers, deacons, elders are going to be working miracles. No, 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 no. These are the glory days. And in these glory days, every single person is going to work a miracle. He's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. He didn't say all titles, because a title means nothing. It's only a description of your gifting and function. So stop coveting titles. Everybody who's waiting on one, stop it. It don't mean nothing. So, but notice this. It says signs and wonder were being worked and taking place. It says many, not a one-off, many. And then it says, and they were all with one accord. Now, these glory days are days of one accord, which is why the enemy tries to bring division in the house of God and in your house of God. That's why he tried to get people separated, get people mad, get people in their feelings, get people misinterpreting. Because he wants to keep you from being in one accord. Because every time the scripture says people was on one accord, we saw a move of God. And the enemy doesn't know the future. He only knows the present. And so he tries to watch patterns. And he's like, wait a minute. There's a lot of activity going on in the heavenly realm. A lot of these angels are moving and kicking my folks out. So now I got to figure out, how can I hinder this? I can't stop God, but let me try to delay by getting people out of place. One of the things I pray for every day is no delay. I heard somebody online who's very accurate prophet most of the time. Well, I would say pretty much all the time. Some of those words didn't apply to me. And, you know, and no, nothing against her. She said, you know, join me in a Daniel wait. And I'm listening, and I'm like, what's a Daniel wait? We making doctrines out of everything folks do in the scripture. And then when I look in the book of Daniel, that was not an intentional wait. He expected revelation immediately. But then Gabriel came and said, the Lord heard you from the moment you prayed, but I got delayed because there was a demonic principality holding me up. And then he said, I didn't have any other angels to help me. And then he said, Michael came. And then once Michael came, I was able to come to you. So why wait for 21 days when there's an expectation of immediate response from God? And so one of the things I do is I say, God, no delay. Because I have learned how to partner with the angelic, which is one of the signs of this season, of partnering with angels. And so what I do in my decree, I release the host of heaven, which is the army. Now, the army of God doesn't like to be called angels because they, you know, got that army attitude. And so it's like they're called the host. And now what I do is I release an angel. I release revelation angels, angels to cleanse atmospheres, angels to steward atmospheres. And I've definitely been releasing financial angels because I'm a business owner. And I'm like, look, I need money and I need it now. I got stuff I want to buy, not for myself. So don't get it twisted. I got stuff I want to finance to expand the kingdom, and it takes money. So I release finance angels. And then what I do is when I release those angels, and I release peace angels and all that kind of stuff too. But then what I do is I say, Father, according to the authority you've given me, I assigned angelic hosts to to go with those angels so there's no delay in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, I could ask the Father and he would give me legions of angels. So if Jesus did it, I can do it. Because Jesus told me confidently and had it written down so I could read it again and again and again and again every time I needed to, that everything he did, I can do because he's gone to the Father. And then he said, you'll do greater. In fact, let's look at that. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. John 14, verse 12. And so that's what I do. Because Jesus said I can do those things, so I release angels and then I assign a host because I pray against delay. I pray against holdup and I declare breakthrough. Because in this season of life, it is where people say the rubber meets the road. You really believe the word or you don't. You can't fake it and you can't fake results. And if you're not getting results, then we need to press into why. Because sometimes it's okay, God is delaying something because he's working something else out and positioning something for a greater impact. Just like he did when he delivered Israel, he didn't deliver him with the first miracle. He said, I'm gonna smite Pharaoh with miracles and then he's gonna let you go. But when you go, you're gonna come out with this, you're gonna come out with that. So if they would have released him in the first miracle, they wouldn't have got the stuff. So sometimes there's a delay because it's the hand of God. Sometimes demonic forces try to delay and you press and fight. And so what we have to do is ask the Lord why. It is okay to be inquisitive and to ask a question. We are called children of God for a reason. What do kids do? Ask you why. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? So being a child of God, I could say, Daddy, why this? Why that? And I can ask, what should I be believing for and how should I be believing it? Because it's not what you believe, it's what you believe, but also how you believe it. Now in John 14, 12, it says this. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, he will do. He who believes in me, who is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word of God made flesh. So we believe in Jesus, but we also believe in his word. And I believe in what he did as the Son of God and Son of Man, as a man in the earth operating it as one being anointed by Holy Spirit. Now, you know that's slick because God, you know, spoke himself as a word and then put body on himself and then anointed himself with himself. I mean, that's like the ultimate swag. So he said, we believe in him. We believe in his word. And the things he does, we will also do. But then greater because he goes to the Father, meaning greater because he released Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit in heaven is called the Drama King. And Holy Spirit likes to really make expression, which is why you see on the original day of Pentecost, he didn't just come. There was a loud wind. There were tongues of fire. There was fanfare. So, and a lot of people try to rationalize that and say, well, when Jesus said greater, he's talking about greater in number because more people now are filled with the Holy Spirit. No, because God had sent out the 12. He sent out the 72. They were working miracles and casting out demons too. He's talking about greater in degree. Because in these glory days, there are going to be miracles that God does that he hadn't done before. But he will give you a reference for it in the scripture. He will do that so you don't think it's a demon. So he said, you're going to do these things, but the question that Holy Spirit wanted me to ask you is this. Will you spend the time with the Father that Jesus spent so you can do the things that he did and that he knows you can do? How often, because he often withdrew to pray, how often will you withdraw to pray and get in the word? Because Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. You're seeing and believing. How often will you allow him to show you something so you can do it? In order to do the things Jesus did and greater, we must have the level of intimacy with the Father like Jesus had. You cannot pray less than Jesus did, thinking you're going to do the same thing he did and greater. Now, I'm not talking about performance-based, you know, Christianity or performance-based love. I do this, this happens, you know, but I'm talking about a spiritual discipline and a spiritual principle. It's just the facts and the reality. You can't pray one time a week and think you're going to do what Jesus did, praying every day, multiple times a day. You still playing catch up. God going to use you, but he's going to use the one who's more sensitive to him to add a greater degree. The one who has the greater discipline. The one who puts in, the one who spends time getting the revelation. He's going to use that person at a greater degree because he's going to use you at your level. So you can't be, you can't hate. God is not a respecter of persons, but he works with people by how they are using the measure of faith. So you can't hate on nobody because talking about God always using him. Why he always using him? He want to use you too, so get up. Get up and do something. Glory to God. So we have to approach the kingdom of God, and Nina said it earlier, with passion, aggression, and a sense of honor, reverencing him. We have to. And so that was my introduction. Let's dig into talking about this key. I got 10 minutes. Oh, man. So Mark 11, verse 20. Now, this is a very common verse that people quote when we're talking about faith. But let's really dig deep into it. So Mark 11, verse 20 says this. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree wither from the roots up. Now, because prior to that, Jesus went to the fig tree trying to get some figs, but it didn't have any. Now, that was interesting act of Jesus because it wasn't time for the fig tree to have figs anyway. So a person in their natural mind would wonder, why are you expecting to get something from this tree when it's not time for that tree? Why expect something before it's the season for it? But Jesus had a right now type of expectation. So he went to the tree, even though it wasn't the season for it, with a certain level of expectation of it producing fruit because simply he expected it. Can you expect something to produce simply because you expect it? And stop telling people, letting people tell you to wait on stuff. The only thing you should be waiting on is the Lord. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. And so he went with this expectation and saw that it didn't meet his expectation. It didn't bear the fruit when he needed it to or desired it to, so he cursed it. He said, you're not going to bear fruit again for anybody. And then he kept it going. He didn't belabor it. He didn't speak in tongues over it. He didn't stand there for 10 minutes laying hands on the tree. He spoke the word and dropped and walked off and went about his business. He expected what he said to be performed. Now, they're coming back by, and Peter's like, look, Jesus. He said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse is withered. And this is Jesus' response in verse 22. He answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Now, most people will read that and look at the English, and most of the English translations translate it that same way. Have faith in God. So people will say, look, if I just believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. That's good. You should do that. But this is not saying that. Because the literal translation translates it as Jesus saying, have the faith of God. There's a difference between having faith in and having the faith of. We're supposed to do both. Faith in is I believe in you, I trust in you, I love you. I know we're in covenant. You're performing your covenant. Not just because you made a covenant with me, but because you made a covenant with Abraham. because I'm the seed of Abraham in Christ. And so because you fulfill what you said to Abraham, Isaac, and, you know, Israel, people, his old name was Jacob, that's evidence that you're going to fulfill your covenant with me. But the faith of God is the faith that I use that belongs to God, that he uses when he created things. I have access to use because he's given me the measure of faith, which is that faith of God. And so it says, use that faith the same way God is using it. And then Jesus gives an example of how to do that. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, pointing to a physical object, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Remember what I said earlier. It's not just what you believe, but it's how you believe it. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, which is that space of the mind, the will, and the emotions, your passions, your endeavors, not your spirit, man. Your spirit is going to always be full of faith as long as you keep reading the word, because your spirit came from the Father. Now, it is the soul part that you got to get worked out. So that's why it says don't doubt in your heart. Don't let those doubts be a part of your thoughts, which then, because your thoughts affect your emotions, which then affect what you say, it would affect your nonverbal communication, which is your behavior, and then it reflects, you know, your actions. He says don't let doubt creep in there. Because if you believe what you say is going to happen, it will be granted. So you have to believe totally what you say is going to happen. But then look, here's the twist on that. Look at verse 24. It says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Notice this looks like two different tenses. One says if you believe it is going to happen, and then the other one says you believe that you have already received it, like it has already happened. Now, if you just look at that on the surface, it would sound confusing. What am I supposed to believe for? Is it going to happen or did it happen? You get what I'm saying? But when we dig deeper with the Holy Spirit in that, it says this, because a lot of the English translations, they vary. Some say have received, some says believe you do receive in that moment. So it's like, what am I supposed to believe? Do I believe I have received? Do I believe I'm receiving it right now? Or do I believe it's going to happen? You can see where, without Holy Spirit, it can be confusing. You can not know what to believe. But here's what I believe Holy Spirit said. Remember, the work of the cross is a finished work, right? The last things Jesus said before he went to hell, because he did go to hell for us, and he was there. And when, you know, when Satan thought he was going to torment him, he got whooped up for, you know. I know that's a relaxed way of saying it, but that's the best way I could say it. Because that's when Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Before he resurrected and saw Mary and said, don't touch me yet. I haven't ascended to my Father. And then he ascended and sprinkled blood on the altar in heaven. But so he was in hell for 3 days. And Satan thought he won. And so it was finished. The last thing that Jesus said before he physically died and went to hell. And so the works was finished then. And then another scripture tells us that God has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. So if things are finished and everything we need pertaining to life and godliness has already been given to us, where is it at? Well, we have a storage room in heaven where that stuff is. But that's great, because I don't need that stuff in heaven. I need the stuff on the earth, right? So when I pray, I use my faith to access what has already been done that's in heaven and cause it to be done in the earth at the moment that I pray. So I have to believe when I'm praying and declaring that that it's already done when I'm praying, because it was done beforehand and finished on the cross. And so now the already done of heaven matches my already done the earth when I latch onto it by praying and declaring in faith. My faith is the key that aligns the already done of heaven with the done in the earth. And so, because we got to understand, it's not done at the moment we pray. The moment we pray, we're accessing what was already done in advance. We're just claiming ownership of it the moment we pray. Because remember, faith is a title deed. Hebrews 11:1 from the Amplified says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the title deed. And so what I'm doing by faith is accessing what belongs to me and presenting my title deed and saying, look, this is mine. I need it in the earth. And then it gets released. Because remember, the key says, whatever I forbidden in the earth is forbidden in heaven. Whatever I allow or release in the earth is what has been allowed or released in the heavens. So what belongs to me has already been released to me in the heavenly realm, and now my faith just accesses it and allows it to be released into the earth and into my reality. But I have to not only believe I have it, I have to believe it's manifesting in my life. And I have to believe it's already done and is manifesting to be my earthly reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's one of the ways we use the key. And I'm going to stop right there because my timer just went off. So Wednesday, tune in to Destiny Moments. We changed our time to 7 o'clock, so tune in at 7 o'clock, not 8. Because we're going to keep talking about this faith key and how to use the faith of God. Because Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in my flesh, I live by the faith. You know, some people say in, but that's supposed to be the faith of the Son of God. I live my life by the faith of the Son of God, meaning I live using the faith that he has, the way he has it, the way he has designed me to use it. So we're going to talk about that some more on Wednesday.